Om Ganana Antwa Ganapatikum Havamahe Kavin Kavinam Upamashravasamam Jeshtarajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrimvan Nutibhasi Dasadhanam Om Mahaganapataye Namaha Om Namaste Astu Bhagavan Vishveshwaraya Mahadevaya Trayambakaya Tripurandakaya Trikalaknikalaya Kalaknirudraya Nilakantaya Mrityunjayaya Sarveshwaraya Sadashivaya Sriman Mahadevaya Namaha Om Trayambakaya Jamahe Sugantim Pushtivartanam Urvarukamiva Bantanan Mrityor Mukshiyamam Lukha'ata Om Shanno Mitra Shanvarunaha Shanno Pavatvaryama Shanna Indra Prahaspatihi Shanno Vishnurukramaha Namo Brahmane Namaste Vayo Twameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi Twameva Pratyaksham Brahma Vadishyami Vratam Vadishyami Satyam Vadishyami Tanmam Avatu Tadvaktaram Avatu Avatu Mam Avatu Vaktaram Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Upunatu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvina Paditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om yaschandasam rishapho vishvarupaha chando pyo jamrata atsam vabhuva samendro metaya aspranotu amritasya devataranu bhuyasam shariram me vicharshanam jivva me matumattama Karna abhyam puri vishruvam Brahmana kosho si metaya pihitaha Shrutam me gopaya Om shanti shanti shantihi Om maham vrikshasya reriva Kirtif prishtangire riva Urdhva pavitro vajini vaswamritamasmi Bravinagum savarchasam sumedha amratopshitaha iti trishankor vedanu vachanam om shanti shanti shantihi om purnamidat purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Abhyayantu Mamangani Vak Pranis Chakshushrotramato Balamindriyani Chasarvani Sarvam Brahmaupanishadam Maham Brahmanirakuryam Mama Brahmanirakarot Anira karanam astu anira karanam me astu Tadat mani nirateya upanishat sutarmas te mai santu Te mai santu Om shanti 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 hi Om van me manasi pratishtita Mano me vachi pratishtitam Avira-virma edhi vedasya ma'ani istaha shrutam me ma-prahasihi anena dhitena aho ratran sandathami ratam vadishyami satyam vadishyami tanmam avatu tad vaktaram avatu, avatu mam, avatu vaktaram, avatu vaktaram. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Om padran no apivataya manaha. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Om padran karne vishvinuyama devaha. Padram pashe makshabir yajatraha. Sthirai rangai istushtuvagum sastanupihi. Vyashema devahitan yadayuhu. Swastina indro vriddashravaha. Swastina pusha vishwavedaha. Swastina starksho arishtanemihi. Swastino brahaspatirtatatu. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Yo vai vedanscha prahinoti tasmai. Tagum hadevam atma buddhi prakasham. Mamukshur vai sharanamaham prapadye. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Let's work on this last one a little bit. Om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. 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 Let's repeat with me. Om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Yo vai vedanscha prahinoti tasmai. 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 Tagum hadevam atma buddhi prakasham. Tagum hadevam atma buddhi prakasham. Tagum hadevam atma buddhi prakasham. Tagum hadevam. Tagum hadevam, tagum hadevam, tagum hadevam, atma buddhi, atma buddhi prakasham, atma buddhi prakasham. You hear there's a slight pause, and you have a double duh, an unaspirated duh, then with an aspirate duh. That's a, what, how that's really pronounced is with a pause. So you're not going to say buddhi, so you go bud, see, you come bud. D. So you hear that kind of a pause? That's going to be true whenever you have a duplicate. Like gacha, right? Gacha. It's not gacha. It's gacha because it's an unaspirate cha with a cha. Buddhi. So if you hear tagum hadevam atma buddhi prakasham. Tagum hadevam atma buddhi prakasham. Tagum hadevam atma buddhi prakasham. Mumukshur vai sharanamaham prapadye. Mumukshur vai sharanamaham prapadye. Mumukshur vai. Mumukshur vai. Mumukshur vai. Sharanamaham. 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 Sharanamaham prapadye. Sharanamaham prapadye. Sharanamaham prapadye. Mumukshur vai sharanamaham prapadye. Mumukshur vai sharanamaham prapadye. Om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. O yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. I made a mistake. These anuswaras, because of the following for the first one, the following va, and the second one, the following ya, it's going to be a nasalized anusika, it's called. Om yo brahmanam, om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Yo vai vedamscha, yo vai vedamscha prahinoti tasmai, prahinoti tasmai. Let's try this line together. Om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Yo vai vedamscha prahinoti tasmai. Om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Yo vai vedamscha prahinoti tasmai. Om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Yo vai vedamscha prahinoti tasmai. Yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Yo vai vedamscha prahinoti tasmai. Tagum hadevam atma buddhi prakasham. 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 Mumukshur vai sharanamaham prapadye. Mumukshur vai sharanamaham prapadye. Om shanti shanti shanti. Okay, I'll say it and then you repeat it twice on your own. Om yo brahmanam vidatati purvam.
Om yo brahmanam vidatati purvam. Om yo brahmanam vidatati
purvam. So I guess that my swear is too low, isn't it? Sorry. Om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Can you give it to me? Durga, can you give me one? Can anybody? Who's got a good voice? Kiki. Give me a song. Now you're good. Om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Yo vai vedanscha prahinoti tasmai. Om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Yo vai vedanscha prahinoti tasmai. Yo vai vedanscha prahinoti tasmai. Yo vai vedanscha prahinoti tasmai. That can be vedanscha or vedamscha with a shakara. Still, you know that vedanscha is correct. You can also do an vedanscha or vedamscha. Either is correct with a sh.
And what did you call that?
The anuswara. After the vedamscha. I can't get the right tone. Let me try. That's too high. Om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Yo vai vedamscha prahinoti tasmai. Yo vai vedamscha prahinoti tasmai. Yo vai vedamscha prahinoti tasmai. You do it. Yo. Good. Tagum hadevam. Atma buddhi prakasham.
Atma buddhi prakasham.
Atma buddhi prakasham.
Atma buddhi prakasham.
Mumukshur vai.
Mumukshur vai.
Sharanamaham prapadye.
Sharanamaham prapadye.
That's a sha. Sharanamaham prapadye.
Sharanamaham prapadye.
Mumukshur vai sharanamaham prapadye.
Mumukshur vai sharanamaham
prapadye. Om yo brahmanam vidatati purvam. Om yo brahmanam vidadati purvam. Yo vai vedamscha prahinoti tasmai.
Yo vai vedamscha prahinoti tasmai.
Tagum hadevam atma buddhi prakasham.
Tagum hadevam atma buddhi prakasham.
Tagum hadevam.
Tagum hadevam.
Atma buddhi prakasham.
Atma buddhi prakasham.
Tagum hadevam. Atma buddhi prakasham.
Atma buddhi prakasham.
Mumukshurvai.
Mumukshurvai.
Sharanamaham prapadye.
Sharanamaham prapadye.
Mumukshurvai. Sharanamaham prapadye.
Mumukshurvai. Sharanamaham prapadye.
Om shanti shanti shanti. Good. So Quran verse 37. Atma Bodha. Evam nirantara kritta. Evam nirantara kritta. Brahmai vasmi ti vasana. Brahmai vasmi ti vasana. Haratya vidya vikshepan, haratya vidya vikshepan, rogan eva rasayanam, rogan eva rasayanam, evam nirantara kritta, evam nirantara kritta, brahmai vasmi tivasana, brahmai vasmi tivasana, haratya vidya vikshepan, haratya vidya vikshepan, rogan eva rasayanam, rogan eva rasayanam. Sandhi. Evam, nirantara, nirantara, kripta, compound, nirantara, kripta. Brahma, eva, asmi iti. Brahma eva asmi iti. Vasana. Harati avidya vikshepan. Avidya vikshepan is a compound. Two words, avidya vikshepan. And harati is the verb. Harati avidya vikshepan. Rogan eva rasayanam. Okay, let's look at the meaning. The word evam. Evam usually translates as in this manner. Okay, evam, in this manner. The word nirantara means continuously or without a break. Nirantara means it can be a break, other, moment, moment. Nirar is without that. So it would translate continuously. Nirantara. Krita. Okay. Kri, to do. Krita is done. Past passive participle. Right? Kri, to do, takes the ta ending. Krita means past passive participle. The past passive participle, you have to know this, is often translated in the present passive or the past passive. So even though the term is past passive participle, it can be is done or was done, depending on the context. So here, you have a compound, nirantara krita. The long a shows you that it's going to be adjectival to a feminine noun, like shala or sita. And also, since it ends in a and there's no sandhi, there could be a sandhi, there could be a visarga dropping there, but we'll see in a minute that it's not, that the word is actually nirantara krita. We'll take it as nominative singular, feminine nominative singular, like shala. Shala, shale, shalaha. So, evam, indeclinable, in this manner, nirantara krita, that which is done continuously. It is done continuously. Okay? We don't know what yet. Now, this next little phrase, brahma eva asmi. Brahma eva asmi. I am Brahman. Brahman is a neuter noun. And so Brahma is the nominative, neuter nominative singular. Brahma eva. Eva is an indeclinable. Brahma eva. Eva means indeed. Right? Indeed, verily. Really the word eva, indeed, verily, alone. It gives emphasis. But these are words that usually are used to translate indeed, verily, or alone. Okay.
And like eva as opposed to evam. Evam is a
different word. Eva means in this manner. Eva means, and both are indeclinables. Eva means indeed, verily, alone. Okay. And you'll find these words, evam, eva, these indeclinables, they're pervasive. They come all the time. So now, brahma eva asmi. Asmi means I am. Right? Aham brahmasmi. Right? Aham asmi. Aham means the pronoun I. When you have the verb like asmi, asmi means I am. You can say aham asmi. You can bring in the pronoun if you want. But in Sanskrit, it's not necessary. Because the pronoun is included in the verb. So all you need is the asmi. So brahma eva asmi. I am Brahman alone. I indeed am Brahman. Brahma eva asmi. Iti. Iti is an indeclinable. Iti is going to put something in quotes. So here, from the context, you can see that what is put in quotes is this aham brahmasmi, brahmevasmi. Iti, put it in quotes. So, I am Brahman. Iti, vasana. Vasana is a feminine noun. So, like shala, it's going to be in the nominative, neuter feminine nominative singular. Vasana, a vasana, is, if you were to look, I looked it up in the dictionary because it's a technical term we use and I want to see how they do it, and they use it pretty much exactly like we do. A vasana is bringing up a knowledge from memory. In other words, say you have learned aham brahmasmi. You know what that means. Right? Well, at the time of teaching, when the Vedanta is being used as a pramana, right? When the Vedanta is being used as a pramana, then the pramana is functioning and you gain knowledge, aham brahmasmi, from the Vedanta unfolding as a pramana. Now you know that. Now you have that knowledge, okay? Now that you have it, that recalling or bringing to mind or recognition. It's not just recalling. It can be recalling, but it's also just the recognition of the fact. Right? The mind's recognition of that fact, which is already there, and it's already been gained. Okay? That's a vasana. Now, sometimes the word vasana can actually mean fragrance, and so that's another meaning for it. There's another thing about that I'll show you, but that's not the meaning here. It can also mean you have a latent tendencies, like, for instance, your likes and dislikes that you've accrued over time. Now you have a vasana for those likes and dislikes. So when you're in a similar situation, like so, even the simple thing of, say, you love your mother's smile. It makes you happy. Your mother's smile is something beautiful and comforting and warm to you, for you. You run across somebody that you don't know from Adam. But when she smiles, she has that same smile. And so that smile brings up this vasana, this sense. Right? So another word for meaning for vasana is if you have a room full of roses, and you take the roses out of the room, still the scent is there. That's totally different meaning, but there's a little extrapolation you can do there. You know, because even though the object is gone, it's left something behind. And so like that, even though your likes and dislikes, the objects that have caused the likes and dislikes are gone, still it's left something behind, a tendency.
In that way, does vasana have a negative connotation?
It can. No, it can. It positive and negative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because raga dvesha, mm-hmm. likes and dislikes. So sometimes Swamiji will translate it as subtle likes and dislikes. Mm-hmm. Right?
It's not like riding on water, right? You know, riding on water is different. It's like, and you wouldn't have the vasana.
Well, no, when we use riding on water, you'd still have the vasana. Riding with on water, how we use that, is the mind experiences something and there's a reaction. Like, say, somebody says something nasty to you, you have a negative reaction, it passes away, like riding on water. Mm-hmm. It's not like the difference would be for a jnani, the experience will come and go. For an ajnani or in someone, the experience will take place and then the mind will keep, you know, thinking about that particular experience and building a web around it.
Couldn't that create a vasana or provoke a vasana or something?
Vasanas are something, yeah, like say if it was a negative experience, if it's a negative experience, then the unconscious remembers that negative experience and it can be projected on another experience. That's one way of looking at vasanas, subtle likes and dislikes, that then get projected onto experiences that act as a trigger for them. That's one way. Another way for vasana, it's more appropriate here, is that when a person gains knowledge, so now the knowledge is there, right? That knowledge continues to be applied naturally to your situation. Like say, aham brahmasmi. You've gained that knowledge. The mind knows that. It doesn't have to walk around and it's now saying, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi. But in situations, you know, where the ahankara rises, the resolution point of that ahankara is aham brahma, aham brahmasmi. Even if whether you say it or not, that's the reality that the mind knows, right? Just like for an ajnani, dehoham, I am the body. I have a vasana. That's a conclusion of the mind. Born of my pramanas, it's mithya jnanam. It's a cognition, a knowledge that has been taken place through the sense organs, born of mithya, born of ajnanam. Okay? And so that conclusion, dehoham, I'm the body, is something which is unnatural. I have a vasana for that. Right? And so even though I might not say I am the body, all of my behavior is going to be around that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. So now here, the vasana, that knowledge has taken place, aham brahmasmi, and that vasana is something which occurs repeatedly, without break, continuously, which means that that knowledge has been integrated, right? The knowledge has been integrated, so that understanding is not something that comes in fits and starts.
Could you translate the word vasana here, maybe for the borrowing of Hitchman, this word you, like the vasana, I am Brahman, it's my continuous view.
I would just translate it as knowledge and then put a footnote on explaining vasana. So in this manner, avam, nirantara krita, now, do you see that krita? The vasana, which is done, the vasana, that knowledge, which is done continuously. Not that somebody's doing it, it's something that is there continuously. Brahma eva asmi iti vasana, in this manner. Hariti, third present tense from hra, to take away, remove, destroy. Okay? From hra, hariti, present tense. It removes. Destroys, takes away, avidya vikshepan, raman, accusative plural. So the vasana, aham brahmasmi vasana, harati, third person singular, it takes away avidya vikshepan. the projections brought about by avidya. Vikshepa projections or agitations. Let me tell you something about this word vikshepa. We say that avidya, ignorance, has two capacities. One is called avarana, ignorance naturally, if ignorance is there, it's naturally covering the object which you're ignorant of, right? So, for instance, with the rope snake, the avarana of the avidya means that I'm not perceiving that the rope is rope. That's the avarana. The vikshepa is the projection, which allows me to mean that I'm going to take the rope as other than it is. That's the vikshepa, right? So ignorance, for any ignorance, it has this twofold thing. It's going to stop you from seeing the thing as it is and also cause a projection of what it is not. And the projection of what it is not usually is going to be, have some relationship with the projected, like the rope has a relationship with a snake. Something in relationship means something in common with a snake. It's got the bends. It's got the diameter. It's the same shape, right? So it's similar even in samsara in the world. When we do a projection onto somebody, there's what we call a trigger. Like the trigger could be anything, like the mother's smile. Your friend has a smile like your mother's, and so you automatically like that person for no reason. Except the smile is evoking that. That's what's in common, right? And so now, say in reference to self-knowledge. Your knowledge, when you gain self-knowledge, and know aham brahmasmi, and in fact all of this is myself, your knowledge is not going to remove the vikshepa. Right? It's not going to remove the maya projection. It won't remove that. Like it would remove the snake, since that's all within your own mind, but this universe is not your projection. But what it will remove is your projection on the projection. It won't remove Ishvara, which is the manifestation of the creation, but it will remove your subjective projection on Ishvara, which is born of ignorance. The subjective projection born of self-ignorance. And so here it says, avidya vikshepan, the projections born of ignorance. Like, for instance, I need this to be happy. I have to have this to be happy. That means I have projected myself onto that object. And I think that the object is what brings about the ananda. Right? So there's a projection caused, brought about by ignorance there. I think that this body is subject to death. There's a projection caused by ignorance. The body's subject to death, but I mean, I think I, being the body, am subject to death. You see what I mean? So now here, harati removes the vasana, aham brahmasmi, vasana. Harati, it removes avidya vikshepan. Not accusative plural. The vikshepas, the projections, brought about by ignorance. Everybody see? This is really a nice thing. So, avidya, two qualities, avarana, covering, vikshepa, projection. For Ishvara, they say there's no avidya. Avidya, then, from the standpoint of Ishvara, is maya. And for Ishvara, there's no avarana. There's no covering. There's only vikshepa, the projection, the manifestation of the creation. So for Ishvara, we have maya, which projects, vikshepa, no avarana, because omniscient. There's no covering, identified with the whole. For the jiva is on the other side of maya. The jiva in the sense that the jiva is part of the projection of maya. So what is just maya for Ishvara is avidya for the jiva. And so now for the jiva is subject to both avarana and vikshepa, covering and projection. That's the condition of the jiva.
But that's the vikshepa of the jiva, following the vikshepa of the Ishvara.
That's right. Yeah. That's right, exactly. So let's look at what it says. So it says, this vasana aham brahmasmi occurring repeatedly, being done repeatedly, without continuously, hariti, that removes the vikshepas, the agitations, the projections caused by avidya. Rogan eva rasayanam. Rasayanam is medicine. It's really the essence from plants, because in India, you know, the medicine was from plants, from the oshadis. So the rasa is like the juice, the essence. So it's a word to translate, you would say, the medicine, rasayanam. That would be nominative, neuter singular, rasayanam, eva. Remember, eva is a indeclinable. Eva, just as, or like. Medicine, harati, bring back the verb. Medicine removes rogan, diseases. Roga is a disease, illness. Just like medicine removes diseases. You keep taking the medicine till the disease is gone. Like this vasana, the vasana, born of knowledge, what's your understanding, born of knowledge, will keep applying itself, right, to all of the, as all of the projections come up, that vasana, aham brahmasmi, will, like medicine, like an, what do you call it?
An antidote,
an antibiotic. It comes in and removes, right, the vikshepa, the projections that are brought about by avidya, by ignorance. Nice verse.
Whoa.
Yeah. Let's chant this and go to the next one. We'll chant 37 again. Evam nirantara kritta, evam nirantara kritta, brahmai vasmi tivasana, brahmai vasmi tivasana, haratya vidya vikshepan, haratya vidya vikshepan, rogani varasayanam. Vivikta desha asinaha, virago vijitendriyaha, bhavayet ekamatmanam, tamanantam ananyadihi. This verse and the last one also are talking about nididhyasana. So let's see that breakdown. Sandhya. Vivikta deshaha. Asinaha. Viragaha. Vijata indriyaha. Bhavayet ekam atmanam tam anantam ananyadihi. Vivikta means separated or alone. Desha, vivikta desha, is a desha is a place which is removed, separated. So quiet place is the idea, vivikta desha. Actually, I did the sandhi wrong on that. It's vivikta deshe, the A drops it. Vivikta deshe, in a quiet place. Vivikta deshe. Asinaha, seated. Asinaha. In the commentary it says asinaha, sukha upavishtaha, seated comfortably. Sukha, you know, comfortably. Sukha upavishtaha, seated comfortably. So asina, seated in a quiet place. How he talked, how, listen to how he defines the vivikta deshe. Janasambandha varjita, devoid of, away from the company, the connection with people. Janasambandha, association is a, Janasambandha means you're associating with people, you know, your contact with people. So one that is varjita, devoid of that, without that. So in a place where there's no people. Vivikta deshe, asinaha, seated in a quiet place. Viragaha. Viragaha means the raga, the passion or the desire for things. The raga. It can also be the hatreds, you know, because raga really means like a passion or desire. We usually say it in positive, raga dvesha, likes and dislikes. But likes in the sense of this, I want this. So I have a raga for this, I want this. So, viragaha means without, like, kind of like, or viragaha, it's vairagya, right? Viraga is another form of vairagya. Somebody with dispassion means having recognized the limitations of sense pursuits, the limitations of samsara for providing happiness. That's viraga. One who is viragaha is one who has recognized that. Okay, nominative singular. Vijitta, and having, so viragaha. Vijitta indriyaha. Indriyaha, the sense organs and organs of action. Indriya means the organs. So if they just say organs and they don't say jnanendriyas or karmendriyas, jnanendriyas, sense organs, karmendriyas, organs of action, just indriyas, you can take both. The organs of action and the sense organs. Vijitta, conquered. Under your control. Let's work. Look at this word. The root verb here is G, to conquer. Okay. Jitta, past passive participle, conquered. Right. Add the ta, jitta. Vijitta just means well conquered. Thoroughly, completely conquered. Vijitta indriyaha. Here he says for viraga, he says sarvatra gata abhilashaha. Sarvatra means everywhere. Gata abhilasha. The desire is gone. Abhilasha is desire. For in reference to any given thing, that desire is gone. By desire, you have to remember, there's going to, for ajnani or ajnani, there's going to be desires, but because the prarabdha. You have to still have a desire to get some water. You have a desire, whatever the prarabdha is unfolding, there'll be a desire that accompanies it. It's not what they mean. They mean desire based in ajnanam, which means I want this, I need this, in order to be whole, in order to be happy. And so that's the abhilasha. There, that's not there. So here, viragaha, vijitendriyaha, bhavayate. Bhavayate means...
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Karmendriyas?
Karmendriyas means organs of action. Yeah. Karmendriya and jnanendriya are organs of knowledge. So the word for, when we say jnanendriyas, organs indriya, organs of jnanam, of knowledge, those are the sense organs. Karmendriyas, those are the organs of action. And there are, you know, five of them, your hands and your feet, your speech, your sexuality and evacuation. So, when you say vijitta indriyas, you can mean all of those. He says, what does he say? Nirjitani indriyani yena saha. The one by whom the organs are completely conquered. Nirjitta means completely conquered. And so, jitendriyaha means the one by whom, it's a special type of compound called the bahuvrahi, where it becomes an adjective for a person. So that person is a, Vijitendriya. So if I say that person, you are a Vijitendriya, means you are one by whom the sense organs are conquered, right? I'm not going to say, hey, sense organs are conquered, right, as an address. It's you, the one by whom the sense organs are conquered, or he, the person by whom the sense organs are conquered.
Okay? Would Jitendra mean the same thing? Jitendra or Vijitendra?
Yeah, same. Exactly the same.
Yeah.
Bhavayate is a potential mood, which you haven't learned yet. It means one should. It either means one should do something, or it's a statement of definite fact. So here it's just one should. Bhavayate, one should meditate. Okay. Bhavayate, one should meditate on something. On what? Ekam Atmanam. Okay, so here it says, in a quiet place, being seated comfortably, being free from having dispassion, asinaha, viragaha, with your sense organs, being one whose sense organs are under control, that one should meditate on something, bhavayate, the one, ekam atmanam. Ekam Atman, the one should meditate on the Atma, on the self, accusative singular, from Atman, Atmanam, accusative singular. Bhavayate, one should meditate on the self which is Ekam, which is one. Both are accusative singulars. Ekam, like Ramam, Atman is masculine, so Ekam Atmanam, on the one self. Tam, on that one self. Here's another accusative, means that. So, ekam accusative singular, atmanam accusative singular, tam accusative singular. So, bhavayate, one should meditate on that one self, which is anantam. See that word there? Anantam? Anantam. Antam means end. Anantam, anantam means without end. That unnegates. A will negate a word that begins with a consonant. Un will negate a word that begins with a vowel. For instance, atma, self. Anatma, not self. Okay. Untam, end. Anantam, without end. So it's a word for limitless. Anantam, that one, that, tam, ekam, one, atman, atmanam, self. Anantam, which is limitless. Ananyadihi. Okay. Ananyadihi is, now we're back into the accusative, into the masculine nominative singular. Dihi means buddhi. Ananyadihi means the one whose buddhi, whose mind is ananya, not on anything else. Ananyadihi means the buddhi, the mind, right, is not on something else. Anya means other. Ananya, not on another. Okay. So the one whose buddhi is not on another should meditate on that one, on that one self that is limitless. Okay. So there we go. Ananyadihi. That one, whose mind is not on another, seated comfortably in a quiet place where there are no people, vivikta deshe, asinaha, okay? Viragaha, the one whose mind is not going out here looking for other things to make them happy, viragaha, right? Vijitendriya, whose senses are under control, bhavyate, that one, who is not thinking of anything else, bhavyate, should meditate on ekam atmanam tam anantam, on that ekam atmanam, that one self, tam ekam atmanam, that one self, which is anantam, limitless. Nididhyasana, right? that nididhyasana brings about this vasana. Mm. Right? Because the mind gets used to having a relationship with the self. By that I mean it gets used to it being what it is and the self being what it is. The differentiation is very clear. And so the mind now, instead of labeling itself as aham, aham manaha, if the mind labels itself properly, it's like the pot, instead of saying, I am the pot, now says, I am clay. The mind now, instead of saying, I am the mind, it says, aham brahmasmi. It recognizes what the self is, what the self of the mind is. The self of the mind is changeless, limitless, anandam, brahman. Get it?
Good advice.
Okay, let's stop there and do it.
Check the cards,
yeah. Could you open your first book of Sanskrit, the Bhandarka, up to page 93? We're going to be there. And I want to tell you something about this past tense. I'm not really interested in teaching it today, but I want you to have this in your files and for me to tell you something about it. So pull out the past tense sheet. First of all, first thing I want to say is that in the conjugations of the present tense, the past, you've learned the present tense, the past tense, then what we call the imperative mood and the potential mood. Let me just tell you what those are. The present tense is just present, means, and this is the present. I go, I am going, I will go in the sense of the immediate present. Not in the sense, you know, I'll go there, means I'm going to go right now. That's also, the present tense can be used in the sense of this immediate future, okay? So I go and I am going, exactly the same. There's no, not like in English where we have those two forms. Or I'll go, I will be going, immediate, okay? That's present tense. The past tense is simple, just simple past. I went, okay? That's it, I went, okay? Or I read a book, I am reading a book, I read a book. Simple past, okay? In fact, it's often called simple past. So that's what this is. So those are the present tense and the past tense. And then in the conjugations that we'll be learning, there are two moods. One is called the imperative mood. And I'll go into this in detail later, but I kind of just wanted you to hear it for now. The imperative mood. The imperative mood is a command. And it goes, and it's a command like, go to the store, or please read the book, or for your assignment tomorrow, read such and such, such and such. So it's a command. Do this. Okay? See this. That's a mood. Okay? It's called a mood, imperative mood, command. The potential mood is you should do this. You know? You must do this. You should do this. That's different than a command. Do this. You should do this. Difference. Tell the truth. A command. One should tell the truth. One should always tell the truth. That's potential. Okay. It also, potential is also in the sense of potential is also in the sense of a truism, like, for instance, one who has knowledge will be liberated. One who has knowledge becomes liberated. Right? That's a statement of truth, right? From the Shastra. One who has knowledge becomes liberated. They can use the potential mood for that. Even though, like if I say, one who has knowledge becomes liberated, that's present tense, right? But if you're using the potential, you're making a statement of truth. You see the difference there? And we wouldn't translate one who gains knowledge becomes liberated. We wouldn't translate it one who gains knowledge should become liberated. That's not what is meant. So you have to understand these two meanings here. So now we've got two tenses, present tense and past tense, and two moods, imperative and potential. Okay for everybody so far? What these two tenses and two moods have in common is that they go through the same pattern of conjugation, which means the first conjugation, verbs, conjugation verbs, take the conjugational sign and the penultimate vowel and middle vowel take guna. Those are the rules for the first conjugation. Remember this? First conjugation? First, there were rules that we had for the first conjugation, which was that the root takes guna, middle vowel and ending vowel takes guna, and the conjugational sign is and to that the termination is added. Those are first conjugation roots. When we did the fourth conjugation roots, the root doesn't take guna, it stays the same, and the conjugational sign is ya, and so to that, then we add the termination. The sixth conjugation, again, the root doesn't take guna, stays the same. The conjugational sign is added, and to that the terminations. Then when we did the tenth guna, when the tenth conjugation, the middle vowel takes guna, right? Ending vowel takes long ending vowel, short ending vowel takes vriddhi. To that the conjugation sign aya is added, and to that the termination. So when we learned the first, the present tense, we learned these four conjugations, first, fourth, sixth, and tenth, and we learned parasmipada endings and atmanepada endings. Some verbs are parasmipada, some are atmanepada. So we went through all of this when we learned the present tense. I just expect you to have some recollection of this now, that you know that we did this. I don't necessarily need you to remember all of the rules. I just want you to kind of understand what's happening here with the past tense and what will be happening with the imperative and the potential. The roots go through exactly the same changes. If a root is a parasmipeda root,
as in the present tense,
okay. They go through the same changes. So a first guna root, first conjugational root, the short middle vowel, penultimate vowel, and short ending vowel. No, ending vowel, sorry, not short, ending vowel. Take guna, and then to that the endings are added. Past tense endings. Okay? It's the same. Same with the fourth. Root stays the same. Guna sign, conjugational sign is ya. Past tense endings are added. Sixth. Root stays the same. Is the guna sign. Past tense endings are added. Tenth. Middle vowel takes guna. Ending vowel takes vriddhi. Right? Ending vowel takes vriddhi. Past tense endings are added. Aya is the guna sign. Past tense endings are added. Okay for everybody? So now, that's exactly what's happening here. Plus, when these formations are, when the past tense is made, the verb will take an in front of it. So go to the first conjugation. The root is bud. Just like in the previous. So say if we have bud, in the first guna, bud becomes bod. Plus a, plus the a plus a does it not become long. So we have bodum, but it takes an a. A bodum. A bodhava. A bodhama. Look all the way through. Do you say all of them begin with a?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this is what I want you to note right now. We're going to go through all of these and learn them.
But this never becomes confusing with a negation of the meaning, like, oh, sometimes
negation. Not with a verb. Mm-mm. It doesn't. So now look. Go down to the third person for bud. Abodut. And then the plural, abodun. Okay? Abodut. These are the ones you're going to see most commonly. Abodut, abodun. Go to the fourth guna. There's the ya. Apushat. Third person only. Apushat. Go to the fourth conjugation. Down to the third person. Push takes ya. Apushat, Apushan. Go to the sixth. Vish, nothing happens to the root. Avishat, Avishan. Go to the tenth, third. Oh, there's a typo. Shoot. Acharyat, that should be Acho. Acharyat, Acharyan. Remember in the tenth, the Aya is the conjugational sign? Penultimate short takes guna. Chur becomes chur. Acharyat, Acharyan. I want you to notice right now the us. Now starts with a, okay? You might even go through and circle the third person singular and the third person plurals. Because those are the ones we'll see most often. Go over to the other side to the Atmanapadas. Ashobata instead of Ashobodat, which would be Parasmaipada in the Atmanapada, Ashobata and Ashobanta. See the little difference there? Ayudhyata, fourth. Ayudhyata, Ayudhyanta. Atudata, Atudetam. Tud is, you know, six gunas, so nothing happens to the root. Atudata, Atudantam, Atudanta. Acharyata, Acharyanta. So if you were, I'm going to put this on online so that you can get a PDF of it. But if you were going to line up the present tense and the past tense, you know, because these are following exactly the same structure, you can see what the differences are. But there's only two things I want you to remember right now. That when we go, we're going to be learning these two tenses and two moods, right? They follow, all four of them follow the same pattern in terms of the conjugational signs. Later, when we do futures and the aorist and different types of ones, they don't follow this. You know, they were not going to follow this pattern. But these are the four that do follow these guna signs. Okay?
Carol, the other words are pushu, vish, and chur. Are those the words?
Yeah, could you please put the roots on here?
Yeah, I'll put the roots on. I'll put them right in the same line as the singular, okay? Bud means to know. Push means to nourish. I'll put this, but you can print it out. Vish means to enter. Chora means to steal. Shud means to shine or to be beautiful. Yud means to fight. Tud means to. What is it? I don't know why I forgot what tud means for some reason. I'll tip of my tongue just a minute. To satisfy or something. Oh no, it does. To inflict pain. To inflict pain on tud. And chur means to steal. Yes, and that is true for most tenth guna roots. And there are many roots that will take Atmanapada and Parasmaipada endings, both. Tenth guna especially. Okay, so if you don't mind putting that aside for a while, the reason I even went over that is because we're going to go to page 92. And I want to be able to say this is a past tense, see the okay? And I also, when we're translating in like Atmabodha or in the class, I want you to know, oh, past tense. And I can say, see that agachat, third person, and you'll know that we're working on that. Okay. We've done some of these. We're going to do them again and just go straight through because I'm working on recognition now. Okay. Start at the top. We've got a half an hour to do this, so we'll get quite a few done. everyone okay with this? Okay. Here we go. Jalam patum nadim agachat. Repeat. Jalam patum. Repeat. Nadim agachat. What do you think the verb is? Gamgach agachat. Past tense. You see the a? Agachat. Past tense. Instead of gachati would be he goes. Agachat. He or she went. Okay? Jalam is a neuter. Jalam means water. Patum. Pa. Pa peeb, actually. To drink. Patum. That tum ending. Infinitive of purpose. To drink. Whenever you see tum, you think to. Patum. To drink. Okay? Jalam patum. To drink what? You need an accusative. Jalam. Jalam patum. To drink water. Nadim comes from nadi, feminine noun. Nadim would be accusative singular, right? Like Lakshmin, Nadim, Dasim. Das Nadim agachat. He or she went agachat. Accusative went where? To the nadi, to the river. He went, just read backwards, agachat. He or she went Nadim, accusative singular, to the river, patum, tum ending, in order to drink, infinitive of purpose. You don't have to say in order to, for the purpose of, in order to, or just plain to. He or she went to the river to drink jalam. So the infinitive of purpose will take an accusative, okay? And the verb will usually take an accusative. So he or she went to the river to drink water. Everyone see?
What's water?
Jalam. Jala is water. Accusative singular. Kumbhakarena ghataha kritaha. Read. Kumbhakarena. Kumbhakarena. Ghataha kritaha. A kumbhakara is a pot maker. Kumbhakarena, ena, ramena. What is it? Ena. By the pot maker. Kumbhakarena, by the pot maker. Ghata is the pot. Ghataha kritaha. Kriya means to do. Kriya with a ta. Kritaha, past passive participle. Gataha, nominative singular masculine, like Ramaha. Gataha. Kumbhakarena, masculine instrumental singular, by the pot maker. Gataha, the pot, nominative singular. Kritaha, is or was made, past passive participle. Kriya, to do or to make. Add the ta, krita. Decline it like an ending noun. Kritaha. Gataha kritaha. Like an ending adjective. Right? So, gataha kritaha. The pot was made kumbhakarena, by the pot maker. Do you see how the past passive participle is acting as the verb in the sentence here? There's no other verb. The past passive participle can act as the verb in the sentence, or it can be an adjectival clause. Here it's the verb. Gataha kritaha. Pot is or was made. By who? By the pot maker. Okay? Penny? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Harina sarpo drishtaha. Harina sarpaha. Drishtaha. Harina sarpaha drishtaha.
Harina sarpaha drishtaha.
Harina instrumental singular. Hari Nam. By Hari. Sarpa, snake.
Serpent,
yes. Sarpaha. Drishvaha. What is, was seen. Now here, that's another
passive participle. You have to remember is that the simplest form of the past passive participle is just to take the root, like krita, and add a ta, and you get krita. So if I go like this, krita plus ta, krita. That's a past passive participle. But there's some, like if a root, for instance, ends in a sha, there's a couple of ways that can go, because this, you're going to have a sandhi here with two consonants coming together. A very common sandhi here would be for this sha to go to the lingual sha, and then this ta to the lingual. This is extremely common. Drishta, where drish plus ta becomes drishta, where the sha goes to sha and the ta goes to ta. So you're going to see past passive participles ending in ta, ending in ishta. Okay. So whenever we come to an unusual form like that, I'll write it up on the board. But let's look at the sentence. Harina, by Hari, Sarpaha, the snake, nominative singular, masculine nominative singular, drishtaha, was seen. Do you notice how that this is adjectival? Declined adjectivally to sarpa. Sarpa is masculine, nominative singular. So drishtaha is masculine, nominative singular. So harina, by Hari, sarpaha, drishtaha. It is. The snake was seen by Hari. Was or is seen. It's been used as a verb. Past passive participle can be used as a verb in the sentence or as a phrase. We'll have examples of adjectival phrases too. Here, it's just being used as the verb.
So how do you determine whether it is or was?
Context.
Because, I mean, it makes a big difference.
It'll always be clear in the context of a paragraph. Since it's past passive, you can say was. But if it's used present as the present in the paragraph, then you just say is. It's fine. Either way. Let's go to the next one. Gramam gantum ichami. Gramam gantum ichami. Gramam. Grama is a village or a town. Masculine. Grama. Gramam is going to be your accusative singular, village or town. Gramam. Guntum. You see the tomb? Infinitive of purpose. Guntum. So, gramam, a village. Guntum, to go. Gramam is the accusative of, and it's going to be related to the infinitive of purpose. To go to the village. To go to the town. Gramam gantum. To go to the town. Remember that tum, infinitive of purpose, to go. Gum, because gum plus tum becomes gantum. Gramam gantum. Ichami. I want. Gantum ichami. I want. I desire, I want to go to town. I want to go to town.
But this is not past.
No, tomb is not anything like that. It's an infinitive. To go for the purpose of going in order to go. Here, if you say, Guntum ichami, I want to go. That's it. The tense would, you could say, I want to go, that's present tense. I wanted to go. Then it would be, you know, I chum, I wanted to go. Okay. So here, we would see this, gramam
gantum ichami. I want to go to the village. Next one. Jananam pidaha. Say, Jananam pidaha. Pariharatum Ishwaraha samarthosti. Ishwaraha samarthosti. Jananam pidaha pariharatum. Ishwaraha samarthaha asti. Okay. We did this last time, doesn't mean. Jananam. Jananam means genitive plural of the people. Jana is person. Jananam of the people. Pida. Pida is feminine and it means affliction or pains. Pidaha would be here the accusative plural for feminine. Feminine accusative plural. For feminine a-ending nouns, the nominative and the accusative are the same. Shalaha, shalaha. So here, jananam pidaha. The afflictions of the people. Plural. Pidaha, the afflictions, jananam, of the people. Acute, both are in the plural. Pariharatum. Pariharatum. Do you see the tomb? Parihre means to completely remove. The pari is a, what do you call that? Upasarga preposition. The preposition, pari, means from all sides. You know, all the way around, pari. So pariharatum, to completely. Pariharatum, parihre, to completely remove, take away. Hre means to take away or to remove. So to take away completely, pariharatum, to remove completely. The tomb, infinitive of purpose. So here, this little phrase, jananam pidaha pariharatum, to completely remove the pains, the afflictions of the people. So those, to completely remove, to what? Go to accusative plural feminine, pidaha, to completely remove the afflictions. Whose afflictions? Jananam, the afflictions of the people. Jananam pidaha pariharatum. Ishwaraha, nominative singular. Ishwaraha, like Ramaha. Samarthaha asti. Ishwaraha asti. Ishwara is what? Samarthaha, capable. Able, capable. Ishwaraha, samarthaha is an adjective. So Ishwara asti. Ishwara is samartha, capable. And that samarthaha will take the infinitive a purpose. In English, you'd say, he is able. In English, you'd say like that. He is able, pariharatum, to remove the pidaha, the afflictions of the people. Ishwara, Ishwaraha asti, Ishwara is samarthaha, Ishwaraha is capable of, what? Pariharatum, to remove the pidaha, the afflictions, jananam. Jananam, pidaha pariharatum ishwaraha samarthaha asti.
So what's the verb?
Asti is. Asti. So ishwaraha asti. That's your basic sentence. Ishwara is. Then ishwara is what? Ishwaraha samarthaha asti. Ishwara is capable. That's your basic sentence now. That samartha is like a predicate nominative. Ishwaraha, samartha asti. Ishwara is capable. Capable of what? Jananam pidaha pariharatum. Ishwara is samartha, able, pariharatum, to remove pidaha, the afflictions, Jananam of the people.
Completely.
So completely, yeah. No, that's only, no, parihartum means to completely remove,
right.
To remove, okay? Ishvara is capable to remove. In English, you'd say he is able to remove, right? Ishvara is able, samarthaha, parihartum, to remove the afflictions of the people. Next one. Bharyam tyektva vanam gataha. Bharyam tyektva vanam gataha. No, usually the Anuswara is placed before the Ra. In some type fonts, you'll see the Anuswara placed right in the middle, but technically, when you learn to write, the Anuswara will go to the left of the Repha.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen them before.
Well, you can see it there. When it's in the middle of the Ra.
Yeah, it's hard to see, yeah.
In this small a font,
that's right.
It's very difficult to see.
Okay. Bharya is a feminine noun, and it means wife. So Bharyam is the accusative singular. Bharyam. Like Shalom. Bharyam, the wife. Tek Twa, there's your Twa. Indeclinable past participle. It will take an accusative. So Bharyam Tek Twa, having left or having abandoned the wife. Oh, that's somebody's phone. Bharyam tektwa, having abandoned the wife, having left the wife. Tektwa can be abandoned, to give up, to leave. So Bharyam tektwa, vanam gataha. Gataha, past passive participle from gam. He went. Where? Vanam, to the forest. Vanam is in the neuter accusative singular. Gataha is a past passive participle. Gum drops its M and takes the tug, gataha. And this is important. Gum is an intransitive verb. Right? Like he went doesn't take an object like I smile or I go or I stand. These are intransitive where the verb falls back on the subject. When the verb is intransitive, it can be a past passive participle will translate actively. So gataha, it can also translate passively, but it translates most usually actively. Means not it is gone by me, but he went. Right? He went. So intransitive past passive participle translates actively. Gataha, no subject there, so gataha just means he went vanam. To the forest. Vanam gataha. He went to the forest. Vanam, neuter noun. Vanam vane vanani, accusative singular. He went to the forest. Tektwa, having abandoned his wife. Bharyam tektwa. Vanam gataha. Remember in the indeclinable past participle, tektwa, it's indeclinable, it shows sequence of action done by the same person. So the subject is only one here. The one who has abandoned his wife then went to the forest. So first he did this, then he did that. So the tektwa will show the first action. Having abandoned his wife, he then went to the forest.
Is that a poppy?
Huh?
Is that a poppy in that culture?
No.
No, it's taking sannyasa.
Okay.
Yeah.
The abandon doesn't have the same...
Yeah. Having renounced his wife.
Taken leave of.
Having taken leave or having renounced.
Permission.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did
you have to have your wife's permission, right?
Mm-hmm. If he just ran out of, on his wife, that would
God,
be
he
it.
Didn't, yeah. Did he?
You know,
didn't Buddha.
Moving right along.
So, could you just say again about intransitive verbs, or like I smile, I go, I stand?
In the past, their past passive participle is translated actively.
When it's an intransitive.
When it's an intransitive verb.
Used as a past passive participle, you.
When you take an intransitive verb like gum, which means to go, and you make a past passive participle, you think that that's going to mean is gone. But if it's a transitive verb, intransitive verb, it will be translated actively, he went. He went is an active translation. Okay, let's do a few more. Ramasya pida nashta.
Ramasya pida
nashta.
Ramasya pida nashta.
Rama, Ramasya, genitive singular. Of Rama, pida, feminine, nominative singular, pida, the affliction. Ramasya pida, the affliction of Rama, nashta, perishes, disappears, goes away.
This is another example. The root is nush, like drish. Here the root is nush. Plus ta, past passive participle, nashta. See the pattern? Shav, drish, nesh, drish plus ta, drishta, nesh plus ta, neshta. Now, and then that ending will be translated, will be declined, like an ending adjective. By that I mean, if I have neshta in the masculine, say if I do it in the nominative singular, it would be neshtaha, like Rama. Neuter would be nashtam, like pullum. Feminine would be nashta, like nashta, like shala. So the past passive participles
will decline like the noun that they're related to. Here the noun is that it's related to is the affliction, pida, the affliction. Is destroyed. Nashta, or perishes. Pida nashta.
That's the verb. Sorry.
The past participle. Yeah, past passive participle can be either used verbally or adjectivally in the sentence. Okay? Do another one. Upayas chintitaha. Upayas chintitaha. Upayaha chintitaha. Upayaha chintitaha. Upaya. Upaya means a means or a remedy. Like a remedy to an illness would be an upaya. It also means a means for something. Here taken as remedy. Upayaha, nominative singular, upayaha. Chintitaha. Many past passive participles are formed, take an E. So here the root is chint. There's a whole list of them, right? I said maybe this is like 160 of them or something. Chint plus the ta. This ta will take an E augment. You're going to get used to a lot of this happening frequently. Not only in past passive participles, but in other formations you'll be learning. The ta will take an e augment. So chintita. Very, very common.
chit, pasta, chitita.
So, two words here, upayaha, chintita. Chint means to think or to consider. Upayaha, chintitaha, the remedy was considered. The remedy was considered. It was thought about. Chintitaha is also nominative, masculine nominative singular. Upayaha, masculine nominative singular. So there's your subject, upayaha, the remedy. Chintitaha, what is it going to mean? The remedy was considered. The remedy was thought about. You might say the remedy is being considered in the context, yeah. I'll do maybe a couple more. Griham pravishtaha kim karaha, kim karaha. Griham pravishtaha kim karaha. Okay. The root
is Vani Upasarga Pra Vish. It means to enter. Pravish means to enter. Drish Nash Pravish Vish plus Ta. See the pattern? Nash. Drish, nash, pravish, drishta, nashta, pravishta.
Griham, neuter noun, means house. Griham, grahe, grahani, griham. Accusative, singular. Neuter accusative, griham. Pravishtaha, pravish means to enter. Pravishtaha entered, was entered, is or was entered. The king karaha, to enter. It's like a verb of motion. It's being used as an intransitive. The king karaha entered. The servant, king karaha, the servant pravishtaha entered the house. Now, let me tell you something here. In intransitive verbs of motion like to go, to enter, the object of destination is put in the accusative. Right? The act of entering is not being done upon the house. Right? If you have a transitive verb, I hit the ball, the action is being done upon the accusative, I read the book. Reading is being done to the book. Entering is not being done to the house. You're entering into the house. So in Sanskrit, the destination of verbs of motion are put into the accusative. They're intransitive verbs. They take an accusative, not as an accusative of a transitive verb, but as the destination. So if I say, I enter into the house, that house goes into the accusative. I go to the village, right? Village goes into the accusative, destination. So here, graham pravishtahim, pravishtaha kinkaraha. The kinkara, the servant, pravishtaha, entered graham, the house. Everybody see that?
The destiny of intransitive verbs of motion go to the accusative.
The destination, yeah. Graham pravishtaha kinkaraha. The kinkara, the servant, pravishtaha, entered. Graham, the house. Okay?
So pravishtaha is an active verb, it's not the past participle?
It is a past participle, but past participles of intransitive verbs.
Oh, that's right.
Okay? Yeah. I think that's enough. We're going to be working on sentences now for a while. And I'm going to be writing the grammar things up on the board so you can get used to it. It's just for a prayer. Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.